The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game here on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. I even see the reporter, Nick Keiser, back there as well. Gentlemen, it is an extremely important day in our country. The fabric of this great nation can be changed today. And it all begins in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, in Muncie, Indiana. That is right. It is the return of Maction on a Tuesday night.
Nice. Who we got today?
Bowling Green in Central Michigan, Miami, Ohio at Ball State.
Oh, yes. Good for them.
That's what we got. We got some action tonight.
National TV. There's nothing else going on, so might as well, you know, get in some football tonight.
Yeah. Nothing happening. Exactly. Yeah, what else is going on? No, in all seriousness, you know, I will say, go out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care policies, none of that. That's your business. You know, go the way you want to go. Just go vote. You know, you have that right. It's a great right that we have in this country, and you definitely should use it. So whether it's a local election, obviously the presidential election, whatever, go use your power and go vote.
I have it on very good authority. Very good authority. The sun will come up tomorrow.
I've heard that too.
Right? So I've can we confirm that? Can we go with that? I think we can.
Is there a time? I actually think there's a listed time in which the sun comes up.
I think you're correct on that.
Yeah.
So it'll come up tomorrow. So we'll, as we do every day, we'll bring the fun and everything else along with the people show for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, this is the last we're really going to mention of that. But seriously, go out and vote. You know, we definitely want to kind of have that PSA going on. How about this? How about DeAndre Hopkins? Last night on Monday Night Football, he scores two touchdowns in the Chiefs' overtime victory. They needed overtime, but got that win last night. And he had a little celebration on that first touchdown. Remember the Titans? It was a movie.
Yep.
But he did that celebration with his teammates. I kind of thought that was interesting. I loved it. I was fine with it. Like, I was like, hey, good for him. You know, sure, I don't have an issue with it. He tweeted 21 minutes ago. It was a shout to Tennessee. If you know me, you know it's nothing but love for Nashville. Ran and his crew are like family. Without them, I wouldn't be here. That was DeAndre Hopkins.
Good for him. All right. Will he do that when he wins the Super Bowl?
Okay.
In February?
You going to send Ran a ring? What are you going to do? Look, yeah. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I think it was the total right move to trade him. This team was going nowhere. He is I think he's a Hall of Fame player. He's super talented, still has a lot left in the tank, and deserves to be on a team that's going to go somewhere. And for him to go from, you know, 1-6 and now 2-6 team to an 8-0 team, like, good for him. And I didn't have any problem with the celebration either. I mean, it's a troll job. But it was a nice troll job. Like, yeah. It wasn't bad.
Good for him. I've listened to him on the radio, and Kevin Harlan says, at 32, he's not supposed to be doing this. And I'm like, here we go again.
I know.
Here we go. Because you're 30, it's over. I'm like, stop. Just shut up, Kevin. Good for Hopkins. I mean, let it play to your 40, man. Keep going on. So, good for him. Was there any doubt in your mind the Chiefs weren't going to win?
No. Look,
isn't that fun?
I like the Bucs. I think Baker Mayfield, you know, I love these quarterback reclamation projects like we've seen across the league. Sam Darnold in Minnesota, you know, Baker Mayfield down there in Tampa, Jared Goff in Detroit. I mean, just to name a few, you know, now you got Flacco in Indianapolis that he's trying to do something. But I knew that the Chiefs were the better team, and I feel like – you tell me if this is right or not. I heard somebody, a friend of mine, use this analogy, and I thought it was perfect. In both college football and the NFL this weekend, there was too much of playing with our food. Like, it was the better teams were just – it was like the cat and mouse game of, like, I'm going to play with the mouse and make it think it's going to get away and then finally end it. And that there was too much of that going on, especially in college football.
I can see, yeah, it was. There's a lot of that. And, you know, and it, some of those teams really try hard. They kind of fade out there in the second half. But the thing last night watching the Chiefs game is just triple team Kelce. How does he look? He looks nowhere near the player he was last year. He's got that weird haircut. And I know he's in love, and I get all that stuff. But still, he's open every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Can other tight ends in the league not get open like that as well? Can the Titans tight ends not get open like that? He's open every single time. I don't get it.
That's a funny question.
Is it
that's
not?
Cute. That's cute, Joe.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But, I mean, like, Kelce, 100 yards, 14 catches for 100 yards. He was targeted 16 times. I mean, unbelievable. By the way, the stat that really stood out to me was let me see if I can find it. The third downs, 12 of 18 Kansas City was on third down.
66%.
They said, I think I saw that was the most on Monday Night Football since, like, the Bills back in the, you know, in their heyday. Something like that.
Unbelievable, man.
12 of 18 on third down. and then one of one on fourth. But, like, my goodness. 384 yards of total offense last night. But, I mean, it was a good game, really good game.
And, it was.
You know, I'm glad that we're seeing, you know, some fun primetime games because that's what they're supposed to be. You know, like I saw the Sunday night game was terrible. It was a boring game between Minnesota and Indianapolis. But the Chiefs roll to 8-0.
Well, that's fun to watch that because you see the level that you need to get to if you're the Titans. I mean, if you want to be a Super Bowl team, that's the level you get to. The Chiefs are the best team in football. So you look, all right, how do we get there? What's the process? And it starts and ends at one position with Mahomes at quarterback. The flip touchdown he had in his left hand last night was does any other quarterback in the league do that?
No.
I mean, Levis does, but he throws it to the other team 10 yards backwards.
Don't compare him to Levis. So come on now.
That's where that goes. But, I mean, their defense is good. Their offensive line's gotten a lot better. That was just a fun game to watch, and now they're sitting there at 8-0. The Bucs are a great 4-5. I don't know how they've lost five games. That's a good team.
Did you see the coin flip for overtime?
Yes. He knew.
Oh, yeah. But the Chiefs win the toss, and Baker Mayfield was just like, like he knew.
His head goes backwards. It's like, it's over with. It's done.
Feel free to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Donovan says, Tampa blew their opportunity last night. They should not have called timeout at the goal line. Let the clock run down to near zero. Get that touchdown. And then let the game be decided on a two-point conversion. Do not give Mahomes an opportunity to get back on the field. Tampa's offense never did get back on the field.
Good point.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrong there.
There's a lot of overthinking that's going into football now, more than I've ever seen in the 40-plus years I've watched it. Just a lot of overthinking, not a lot of just like line up, get the yard, mash up the middle, do that. And, you know, it's the evolution of football. We're trying to get too cute and all the things that go on, but sometimes the basic works.
Sounds like Jerry Jones got out of his room this morning. He's sending a fourth-round pick to Carolina to acquire wide receiver Jonathan Mingo. I don't know why they're doing that, but okay.
Well, I bet you Vegas just flipped the odds.
Oh, yeah. Here comes Dallas. Jonathan Mingo. There you go. There's the piece.
I'm going to make a trade today. I can't imitate him, but you do a better job.
I'm going to go out there and make it. I can't do it. You met, like, now
catch
you're
on the spot.
I need to hear him, and then I could probably do it. We're making a trade. We're going to be a good football team. Mike, Mike, you got this.
You know what's funny from those? Our good friend Paul Jones covered the Cowboys for a couple of years. It's like they all say he's wonderful. Like he has this big party after in a training camp for
media. I met him for 10 seconds, and it was like probably one of the most biggest highlights of my life. And he was like, son, how you doing? Like shook my hand, and it was like that classic old man, like real fast shaking your hand.
Yeah, but getting
like
out of there.
Death grip on. I mean, like he about broke my hand, like he had the death grip on. And he was like, son, how you doing? Go Cowboys.
I like it. When he bought the Cowboys in 89, he bought 51% of them.
Oh, yeah.
Which made him – he had three or four other investors, and he became
– And he slowly bought them out over time.
Slowly bought them out, yeah.
Here you go, Chase. Find your inner Jerry Jones here.
Against any team in the NFL can do you in. This is not a good time. I really regret this for all of our Dallas Cowboy fans. I will tell you this, that I've been around. I've seen Michael Irvin tear up and cry when he couldn't lose anybody because he's just recovering from knee surgery. Yet his ass came back and led a team to 3 Super Bowls. I know you can be there if you're there. That room's full of guys that can get it done.
I believe in the Cowboys.
What's funny, he didn't draft Michael Irvin. He got lightning in a bottle. But that leads into what we're going to talk about today, because today's a trade deadline, and the Cowboys pulled
That's
off.
That's what's today.
The Cowboys pulled off the greatest trade of all time in sports. I mean, there's nothing that comes close with the Herschel Walker trade,
yeah,
which ended up winning them the Super Bowl and getting all the players and assets. So a question we talked about is, what trade in any sports just ripped you apart, just tore you apart when you found that he was traded? And I'm going to make mine real quick. You know what it is? When Dale Murphy got traded in July of 90 to the Phillies from the Braves, that ended my Braves love on the spot right there. I was like, how do you trade Murphy? I get it. Now that I got older, I realize it's a business. But once Dale Murphy got traded to the Phillies, I was like, I'm devastated. I was devastated. So there's other trades out there that have gone on that's like – and some are upset by the Hopkins trade.
I mean, so McNair, I mean, when they sent him to Baltimore – because that was a trade, right? Wasn't that a trade?
I don't remember, but still.
I don't remember the – I think it was, but man, that's a good one.
Or the first time you saw your favorite player in another jersey. I mean, trade or free agent or whatever.
Yeah.
It was still weird seeing McNair in a Ravens.
When Eddie went to Dallas, it was weird. And as a Cowboys fan, like I was like, oh, okay, cool. But it was still weird because I had – you know, now I was kind of all in with the Titans and – they were here. They were our team. You know, they made that run of the Super Bowl. Eddie was like the first, you know, hero that we had, like in a pro sport situation. So, I mean,
and it
that,
was a bad, bad. He was the
04. He was at the, I mean, he was done.
Didn't Parcells bench him halfway
through? Yeah. I mean, he played like 5 or 6 games. He was done. Yeah. But, you know, that was tough to watch. I mean, obviously, Derek and Samari going to Baltimore. But I'm trying to think of trade, like a trade that just absolutely.
Did you say when you saw Ekholm come back, was that weird?
Yeah, that was weird. But that was just because he was, you know, in covering the team during that time, like he was always one of my go-tos. Like he was, it didn't matter. He would talk to me, you know, so that was, you know, it was just, he was always a cool guy. I'm trying to think from a Braves point of view.
You weren't happy with Freddie Freeman,
but that was a free agent.
But still, sitting him in a Dodger uniform.
Yeah. You know, when Maddox left, when Glavin left, I mean, those were pretty tough.
What about when Ken Oberfell went to the Oakland Athletics?
I don't remember that one.
OB off the bad Braves teams in the 80s and gets traded.
I mean, it's a great question. 615-737-1025. So any sport. Trade that just broke. I mean, here's one. Obviously, it turned out to work, but when the Predators traded Shea Weber, that kind of rocked the, you know, the foundation, because it was like, wait a minute, that's the guy. You're trading the guy. Now, but it turned out to be the right move.
I think the Preds did a good job when they traded Weber in, was that June of 2016? Because it was the day before or after Pat Summitt died, and that's how I remember that,
yeah,
is that they quickly put out a P.K. Subban highlight reel.
Yeah.
I mean, quickly. Like, oh, yeah. Here we're getting. So I think it kind of like, all right, we're losing Weber, but we're getting P.K. Subban.
So we were I was producing. It was Darren and Derek at the time. I don't think Willie was on the show yet. And we are literally signing off. We're ending the show. There's 20 seconds left in the show. And Jeremy, our boss, comes in and goes, the Preds just traded Shea Weber for P.K. Subban. And so I key the mic and I go, hey, guys, just passing this along. The Predators just traded Shea Weber to Montreal for P.K. Subban. And Darren, like, can't talk and looks at me and just goes, okay, see you tomorrow. wasn't like that. But, yeah. I mean, it was just like,
sudden, yeah, out of the blue.
What just happened? I guess we'll have a lot to talk about. So it was one of those things, like, just
everything happens at the end of our show, or
of course,
yeah, like at the end or 5 minutes after that goes on.
All right, 615-737-1025. Also, I'm gonna throw out five Titans that I think you could potentially trade, and you tell me if you agree or not.
Okay,
we'll do that. Coming up next, Hal Gill at the bottom of the hour, chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Mayor Quimby supports revolving door prisons. Mayor Quimby even released Sideshow Bob, a man twice convicted of attempted murder. Can you trust a man like Mayor Quimby? Vote Sideshow Bob for mayor.
Little Simpsons and then Law and Order. Okay, very nice. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Here on this Tuesday.
Oh, man.
I love that. That's a great episode.
So much of our contact revolves around The Simpsons.
So last night I watched the episode where Bart wants to buy the Radioactive Man number one. And so he and Milhouse and Martin's.
that episode should be in the Smithsonian.
The best scene in that entire episode is it is storming like no other.
Uh-huh.
Homer's sitting there watching TV, and Marge goes, Homer, it's really coming down out there. Are the kids okay? And he looks, and the lightning strikes the tree, and he goes, they're fine. They're fighting.
They're fighting. They're brawling up in the tree. And at the end of that, Bart says, you know what? Because we all worked so hard. We tried to come together on one thing. We couldn't get it done. And Milhouse is like, well, what's your point? And he's like, this kind of ticks me off. So you're expecting this come together, like we could have done better in our lives. And just The Simpsons true to form takes you in a different direction. Great episode.
Oh, so good. And that was season two. That was like when it was really starting to get
funny. Oh, it's an awesome episode.
You had Dancing Homer in that one. Just so many good ones. Baby Elephant Walk.
Homer, it's really coming down. Could you check on the boys?
They're fine.
And they're beating the snot out of each other.
They tree. Tie up Martin.
Homer's so late. He doesn't even look. He's just watching TV.
Marge like finally makes him come in and like, you can play your tie up game. It's time. Oh, man. 615-737-1025. Our question of the day is,
Because today's NFL trade deadline. What trade could be any sport when your favorite player got traded and it just gutted you? Just like, oh, how are you going to go about your day? What trade would that be? Because there's been a lot of them throughout the years.
Eric wants to weigh in. Eric, what's up?
Longtime 49er fan, when San Fran traded Charles Haley to the Cowboys, I wanted the coach, general manager, the whole front office fired on the spot.
I mean, because it's the Cowboys.
Horrible, horrible decision. And George Seifert came back and admitted years later it was the worst decision he ever made.
Didn't he win 6 Super Bowl rings? How many rings did he win?
At least 5. He definitely, yeah. I think, had 2 with the 49ers and 3 with the Cowboys. And he wreaked havoc on the 49ers when he would play them.
Yeah, you're right. 5 Super Bowl championship. You're correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Horrible. They should have all been fired immediately. So.
Thanks for the call, Eric.
Haley, yeah, thanks.
How is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Charles Haley.
100 sacks, 5 Super Bowl championships, Ring of Honor, Cowboys, and 49ers.
I don't know.
Five-time Pro Bowl?
You would think. By the way, I have a sneak peek of some things. We're going to talk some Hall of Fame with John McClain tomorrow.
Okay.
He let me in on some stuff. So we're gonna bring it up with him
all
tomorrow.
Right. I'm all about it, man.
Robert in Nashville says, I'm old, but Tom Seaver to the Reds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was a good one. Michael in Madison, Mookie Betts getting traded really hurt me as a Red Sox fan, especially with the local connection.
Didn't they come out and say we made a mistake? I think in the front office said we made a mistake.
You think?
Yeah, right?
I want to be like, no bleep. McNair was a free agent. They wouldn't give him a $9 million contract, and Baltimore did. No, they locked him out of the building. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a free agent. Now, they may have cut him, but I think that I think they traded him. I'd have to look it up. He was not a free agent. That's incorrect. 9721, the AJ trade. I knew that was going to come up.
I completely forget. It's just like I've kind of blocked that out of my life.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up. 0247, Emmett Smith in a Cardinals uniform just seemed wrong. Yeah, that was weird.
Right.
I didn't like that. How about Weber to Weber for PK? We talked about that lows to highs in a single trade. AJ Brown, Mookie to LA. Derrick Rose got traded from the Bulls.
To who?
Was that the
T-Wolves? I don't remember.
It might have been Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because it was Chicago. Because he ended up in New York after all of this. And then I think he retired, past summer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm not a Colts fan, but when they cut loose Peyton, we all knew it was coming. But it was like, holy crap, the Colts actually cut loose Peyton Manning.
But they got Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for them.
Not at all.
This sounds awful now. This is from Patrick. But being a Bills fan, when they traded OJ to the 49ers, that was rough. He was a legend when he played in upstate New York.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That a trade?
I think it was. Didn't Namath also go from the Jets to the Rams? I mean,
yeah.
See these iconic guys? That's the point of the question, is seeing these iconic heroes.
Well, and OJ wanted to go home,
yep.
You know, and play closer to home.
That's right.
But he played like 2 years there and then retired,
I think. Like that. That's got to be tough. And Patrick, thank you, of being a fan of somebody like OJ, because the dichotomy of that is
it weird? Like, so ooh. This is another subject for another day, but like everybody has to, when talking about OJ, the football player, has to preface it, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody does that. You know, there's Chris Benoit, the wrestler, that everyone, when they're talking just about his wrestling career, they have to preface it because of the awful things he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. Like it's weird sometimes, but it's like sometimes I even feel guilty about just talking about the player.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we have to do it to an extent with Steve McNair. I mean,
you're right. It's a little different, but yeah.
It is, but we still like, yeah, but off the, I mean, so, you know, here it hit us differently. Like, Patrick, I understand growing up in Buffalo and, you know, OJ.
Like, OJ is,
you know,
one of the best players of all time.
All time.
He's a terrible human being, or was.
Yeah.
But like, he's one of the greatest players, and like watching his film and everything, I'm enamored watching him play football.
He was great. I mean,
but then I like sit there and I go, okay, yeah, this guy's a murderer. So, you know, I
get it. I mean, we all go through that with these guys because we all grew up like, man, these guys are just legends and larger than life.
Iconic Sports Illustrated cover of OJ at USC, and they're playing UCLA.
Yep,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So one of those UCLA players is Floyd Reese.
Right. He told me that. I think I saw the cover.
Yeah.
And he pointed it out one time. Yeah. That's pretty iconic, man.
Let's see. Vincent and Dixon, Jim Burt from the Giants to the 49ers.
Jim Burt, yeah. Wore the tight jersey, number 64. Right, Sean Henry? And then got traded. Yep, he was an anchor for that Jets defense.
One more. As an avid Detroit Tigers fan, it tore me up when they traded Justin Verlander, the best pitcher in baseball, to the Astros. Never have forgiven them for that.
Ooh. Well, the Tigers also made a trade years ago, which helped the Atlanta Braves. The Braves traded Doyle Alexander from the Braves to the Tigers and got back John Smoltz.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That one worked out pretty good.
That one did work out very
well. I'll take that one. Coming up next, what is going on with the Predators? We will discuss with Hal Gill. He'll join us here on the program, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Predators fall 3-0 in the shutout last night to the LA Kings. We say hello to Hal Gill, who joins us now. You can hear him on Road Games on radio and see him on the FanDuel Sports Network on TV during home games. Skillsy, we saw the highs on Saturday and then the lows last night. The I don't even know how to describe it. Inconsistencies, the up, down, the roller coaster. And I've learned enough from you over the years that when I watch this, I just know they need one thing. They need to go on the road. They need to hash this out, and the best way to do that is a road trip.
That's exactly what they need. They need a road mindset. They need to go and play for each other. And you know, it's tough being at home for so long. I know you, if you're winning, it's great because you just keep feeding the beast. But when you're in a funk and you're at home, it's tough to do that. Whatever it is, you're on the road and you simplify things and you bear down and you try to keep the crowd out of it. Instead of whatever they're doing now, trying to get the crowd into it, thinking that they got it and then they let it slip away. And last night was disappointing because they had so much jam, so much fight in the second period. And then the third, it just fizzled out. So it's really hard to understand. So I agree with you. Get on the road and go figure it out, boys.
You know, some of the guys talked last night, and they're using the word frustration, you know, that has set in and that they're all trying to figure it out. You know, when you were playing and something like that would happen, how did you deal with the frustration? Is it constant discussion or, you know, kind of what was the process there?
Yeah, I was fortunate, to be honest with you, because I was always, you know, I could just work hard, right? My game was not a skill game where I was relying on, you know, like that confidence to make plays. I was more work my butt off, and if I'm slumping, I can work myself out of it, you know? But it's tough when guys aren't scoring, they aren't getting anything going, they second-guess the plays that you're making, and it gets to be tricky. And frustration, it kind of kills you, because if you get frustrated, then you're not playing your game. You know, like when you're playing at your best, and it's really when you think you're, you know, the kid on the playing street hockey or in your driveway and you're playing game seven and you're having fun and you always win and you get that confidence and you know, that excitement that comes with it. There's no frustration in that. So I think you got to find a way to park the frustration and go out and do your job.
We're talking to the most handsome Hal Gill on the People's Show, the Chasing Big Joe Show. Hal, Robbie Stanley brought up a good point this morning that I didn't think about, but I don't get your thoughts about it. He felt that some of the players are giving up good shots to kind of pass it over to Stamkos and maybe one of the other two top free agents. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's been an issue this season is, you know, if you're – a guy like Tommy Novak, you want to get the puck to your goal scorers, and that's Stamkos, right? That's what you want to do, but you can't force it. You got to make the play that's given to you, and that's, you know, it's a balance. I think you're silly if you're not looking for goal scorers to go score goals, but at the same time, you got to play your game. Now, I think that you can let that float for five games. But then you recognize it and you go and play your game and you get past it. And that's the problem. I don't think that's a problem anymore. I think that was the initial problem, but I think they've learned to get through that. Now it's just a matter of developing that chemistry 5-on-5 where they can go out and make plays and make the right plays. And, you know, I think that goes back to the road is, you know, when you're on the road, you don't look for that extra pass. You simplify a little bit and then you kind of find your game. And plays will open up. They're there, and they're good players will find them. And they don't need to force anything. And I think that's something that might come with a road trip and going out and simplifying the game.
All right, you've seen all 12 games in your esteemed opinion. What is the one biggest problem with this hockey team right now?
What I see is they can't find a consistent five-man unit. You know, it's like when they're good, you see five guys working together and moving up the ice, defending well, and then transitioning through the neutral zone. And right now, I see the play happening, and it looks good, and then there's one guy that's not quite in position and doesn't quite make the play. And it's just one guy all the time. And it's not one player I'm talking about. It's one guy on the ice at any given moment that doesn't go with the rest of the four players. And then it turns around, and then it's helter-skelter after that. And so I think, you know, it's hard to get that. And Brunet has been trying to – he shuffled the lines last night, trying to find that chemistry where you get five guys working together. It's just – it hasn't come, and I think that's what they need to be successful. It's, you know, I think the old days when you just fall into a 1-2-2, you know, you have layers and you can defend that way, and, you know, that was the trap is, you know, you could get away with having one guy that wasn't on the same page. This system and the way that they play in the new NHL with the speed, if you're a couple feet off, then you're way off, and I think that they just haven't found that mix with five guys on the ice at the same time.
You know, obviously, you know, you work out in practice and in a game, but how this team plays so many games back to back to back almost, it seems like, and you got to give the guys a day off. I mean, you got a game Wednesday, a game Thursday, a game Saturday. I mean, is the lack of practice time, can that hold back a team a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I actually asked Brunette about this the other day. You know, like, is it hard to practice your system? Because the system has to be full go, you know, like, and going back to the old days of the trap, I remember practices, you know, we'd just stand in a spot and the coach would be like, no, I want you to stand over that way. You know, we're going to shut off the red line here. This is where our squeeze is going to come in. And this is where our trap gets set up. And we'd just be standing there while the coach is going through everything. Well, this NHL, if you're going to practice something, you have to practice it full speed, otherwise the timing is off, and so that limits how much you can practice, because you can't go full speed all the time, because you're going to kill your players, and the last thing you want when you're talking about needing to get energy and needing to get that jam is you don't want guys standing around and you don't want to wear them out, and so it's a delicate balance, and I think they rely on a lot of video and showing, hey, this is what happened in the game, this is how we can change it. And so I think a lot of the coaching comes from the video room, and I know they worked their butt off to try to get everything right, but it's hard, like you said, back to back, you're playing 3 and 4 and, you know, 5 and 7, and, you know, like it gets crazy, and it's going to get even worse. So they got to find a way to do it while they're not on the ice, because like you said, they can't burn everyone out.
Hal Gill is with us. So let me ask you like this then. Does Bruno maybe look at his system and just say, hey, we got to get some things going and maybe try and dumb it down a little bit, make it as simple as possible just to get these guys on the same page?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I think a system has to be you have to be true to your identity, right? I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it work. And so you have to trust that once everyone gets it, you're going to have success with it. And I think that's what you have to work through these hard times. You know, there's so many teams in the NHL that I remember my old coaches, it doesn't matter what system we do, as long as we do it together and as long as we do it well. But I think the new NHL, you need to have something special where you're pushing teams back on their heels and playing fast. And the ultimate goal is to play fast. Yeah, you can go out there and muck it up and grind it out like the old Preds of – you guys remember those years, just like grind out wins and block shots and battle and get it out of your zone and defend again. But that doesn't get you to the ultimate goal. I think if you want to win a cup, you got to play a fast game and you got to play it as a five-man unit. And so what's the point in trying to eke out wins and changing your system if it's not going to win you a cup? And so I think that's why I see that is, yeah, if we can grind out wins and play slower, but why are we doing that when we could, you know, hey, go work through some hard times and we'll be better for it in the end.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hal, appreciate it. As always, enjoy the trip, and let's see if you can come back with 4 points. That would be nice.
Yeah, go check your bags and on the road, and I think these guys will work through it. I'm hoping that we laugh at this at the end of the season and say, hey, this is the muck you have to get through to get to the wins.
And Hal, also, what a better place to be in America tonight than in Washington, D.C. So good luck.
Yeah, I just voted. I'm going to go out and celebrate in D.C. I'm sure it's going to be tame. I don't know. This is like the political Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be a gong show out there? Like, are there going to be like political parties everywhere? Like, I don't know.
Well, you'll have
watch on TV.
You'll have a nice quiet night. Yeah, it'll be nice and quiet for you.
Well, we'll see. I'll give you a full report tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks, Hal.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Hal Gill joining us here on the program. And again, he will be on the call with Max Herz here on radio for the next two games, and also does a lot for the FanDuel Sports Network as well. But yeah, the Preds, I mean, it's just, I hope they can get it turned around. I think they can. I still am at that point where I think, you know, let them go on a long trip. A lot of their games have been here, you know, kind of get together, do some bonding stuff. They'll be good.
Well, here's the problem I've got. When I start looking at this team, I start looking at the standings, I'm like, God, Winnipeg's got 22, and look how well the Blues are playing. I'm like, Just play your game. Go out and beat Washington. You got Florida. You got Utah. I mean, you can't worry. And that's the thing. You're like, oh, my God, look how great they're playing. You just can't worry about that. And just go out and one game at a time, baby. One game at a time. Let's get back to our question of the day.
Yep, that's what we're going to do.
What trade in sports devastated you, just gutted you when you found out your favorite player was leaving your favorite team to go someplace else? We got a lot of responses. Boy, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025.
Also, Brutus the Barber Beefcake coming up at 10 o'clock today. Looking forward to talking to him. The Hall of Fame wrestler will join us at 10 o'clock. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Scheduled for next Tuesday, can Ralph go from Sesame Street to Pennsylvania Avenue? Adriatica Bell Johnson.
Val Nash, Ralph Wiggum is a breath of fresh air for a country hungry for a change of air. And he's already a master of the soundbite, from his take on immigration reform,
stranger danger,
to his disciplined stance on government spending.
I only have this much monies.
I don't remember that one. I mean, I kind of do.
Was that the classroom? Were they running for president in the classroom?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, man.
There was one that I was watching the other night where this was perfect. Bart's running for fourth grade president against Martin, and like he just runs like a smear campaign, and everybody's voting for Bart. And Mrs. Krabappel opens up the ballot like, you have until the end of lunch to vote.
Right.
And Bart goes, celebration outside, and everybody runs out and nobody votes.
That's right.
They all forgot to vote. And he's and they all admit it, and Bart's like, oh no. And the bell rings, and it was Martin and Wendell that voted for Martin.
And he loses 2-1, right?
Yeah. 2-0.
2-0. Oh man. You know, it's a quick story. One time, this was 2008, I went to vote, and I was working at Channel 2 at the time. I had my Channel 2 jacket on. I had my son, and I went to vote, and I got up there, and a lady started arguing with me, saying I shouldn't be able to vote because I work in media. I mean, she was adamant, and the working ladies there were like, hey, you need to calm down. She's like, he shouldn't be allowed to vote. So I go into the voting booth, and so I'm like, I'm tired. So I start yelling at her, and I got my son. Meanwhile, you have the buttons on the machine. So JJ starts pushing buttons, and I turn around. I'm like, well, what's going on here? And he's like, I'm pushing buttons. And he's all, and I'm like, holy cow. I think I voted for you and for Dr. Crane's Nani. I voted for everyone. But this lady was just giving it to me because I worked in media and I was voting. And she was adamant to toss me out. So it's great, man. 16 years ago. Wow. So get out and vote today. I don't care who you vote for. Just get out and vote.
Oh, man.
Back to our question of the day.
Yes.
Trade Today's NFL trade deadline at 3, I think. What is a trade that devastated you growing up or recently of your favorite players saying goodbye? I thought we would get more A.J. Brown responses.
By the way, I did just find this because people were arguing about McNair. June 7th, 2006, the two teams worked out a deal to send McNair to the Ravens for a fourth-round pick in the 2007 NFL draft. And McNair flew to Baltimore, passed a physical, and was announced as the newest member of the Ravens.
Wow.
So it was a trade.
Now I'm curious to see who the Titans got for the fourth-round pick in 2000.
I know. I was just thinking that, too. That'd be an interesting one.
I'm so nervous I can't even.
Let's see. I'm trying to get there.
They had Leroy Harris or Chris Davis.
Mm.
They had Michael Griffin, Chris Henry, Paul. Listen to how bad this draft was. Michael Griffin, who not bad. Chris Henry, terrible. Paul Williams, terrible. Leroy Harris, pretty good. Chris Davis, terrible. Antonio Johnson, terrible. Joel Filani, terrible. Jacob Ford, terrible. Ryan Smith, terrible.
It was Chris Davis.
Chris Davis.
That's who they got.
And remember, he was trying to get the punt returner, and he got busted for a DUI. And then Fisher's like, "Well, you can do drinking in Florida," and kicked him out, sent him back down to Tallahassee. Paul Williams, God bless Paul Kuharsky. Loved Paul Williams because that guy hung around for like 3 or 4 years. And I remember Paul one time saying, "Why is he still here?" I mean, he hung around forever, and did nothing. God, it's a bad draft. Joel Filani one time came in, and he had dyed his hair orange. And Vince Young says to him in the locker room, "I ain't throwing no damn ball to a strawberry." Guy walked in proud of his hair, feeling good, and Vince Young says that to him.
Real quick, Jason wants to weigh in on our question of the day on a trade. Jason, what's up?
What's up, guys? So my trade is, all right, I know he was older, but Dale Murphy was my favorite player growing up as a kid. And when the Braves decided to trade him at the end of his career to the Phillies, no.
Look, that's my number one trade of all time that devastated
me. Thanks, Jason.
Jason, because I grew up watching those West Coast Braves games where they'd play San Diego and San Francisco and Dodgers. And the only constant, the only guy who always gave everything and played his tail off was Dale Murphy. Every single time you could count on Murphy to hit a game-winning homer versus the Padres or something out there. So you grow up with him, you love him, and next thing you know, he's with the Phillies, and he just looks weird in a Phillies jersey, and I never, ever got over that. So thank you, Jason.
Yep, very good one for sure. All right, who's coming up next?
Well, there's a big kind of a Comic-Con event happening with a lot of celebrities coming to town this weekend in Lebanon, and one of the celebrities is Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So the legend's going to join us next here on the People Show, and I cannot wait.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We'll do that coming up next. We're going to have a few different wrestlers on this week. Do that coming up here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.